reading from Holy Scripture.
Reading our Gospel, John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 22 to verse 42. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father sets apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father." Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, "Though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true." And in that place, many believed in Jesus. Let us pray. A prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And for the message this morning, although we're going to look at a lot of things, the message this morning, John chapter 10, verse 28, part of that verse, "And I will give them eternal life." Just a little bit of background. As you know, we look at this passage and we just break it up, unpack it, and it's quite a passage of scripture. Now, it was a feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. You know, we're coming out of winter. In Jesus, you know, he's walking in the temple, in Solomon's porch, and the Jews are surrounding him. And they say to him, "How long are you going to keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And so in December, this is the festive month of the Jewish calendar. It's a big holiday feast. And do you know what that feast is? Hanukkah. Did somebody say Hanukkah? Well done. That's right. And do you know what that feast celebrates? I'll tell you, shall I? That feast is dedicated, it celebrates the cleansing of the temple. 164 BC, Antioch of Epiphanes, king of Syria, he did a terrible thing. It was sacrilege. He sacrificed a pig on the altar. And you know how terrible that was. And that event is recorded in the book of Maccabees in the Apocrypha, which is between the Old and the New Testament. Some Bibles have the Apocrypha. And in this festival, something else happens. Do you know what that is? In this festival, it's the Feast of Lights, the lighting of the menorah, a central part of the celebration. You know, 8-day celebration. And, you know, the candles are lit. It's an important time. An 8-day celebration. Jesus in Jerusalem. And so, one day, he's walking on the east side of the temple. And, you know, he's got no peace. You know, some Jewish people surround him. And if you can imagine, these Jewish people had seen him performing miracles. They had seen him healing the sick. And above all that, Jesus is saying he is the Son of God. And the Jews say, "Tell us who you are." You know, the Jews then, there and then, they don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Do you know what they're looking for? They're looking for a political leader that's just going to release them, deliver them, because they are a country that are occupied by the Romans. They are under oppression. And as we look at John's Gospel, we go through this passage, John chapter 10, verses 25 to 26. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe." This is how he answers. the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep, as I said to you." You know, Jesus had told the Jewish people many times who he was performing the miracles. The Jews did not believe Jesus was God. And it's a matter of the heart. And it's always been a matter of the heart, a personal relationship with God through Jesus. You know, Jesus looks at our hearts. God looks at our hearts. The Holy Spirit searches our hearts. And it wasn't until I was 17 years of age, you know, I went to church. I read the Bible. I prayed. I helped in Sunday school, helped take part in services. But it wasn't till God touched my heart. And it made all that difference in my life, that personal relationship. God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with me because he loves us so much. That's why Jesus came. And as we read the next part, Godly Security, John 10, 27 to 30. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I follow them." And the title of our message today, just think of these words as you go away, and I'll think about it as well. "I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father are one." And so we've got that wonderful promise that if we're walking in God's ways, if we're loving God, if we are in the permissive will of God, that nothing can snatch us away from God. He's just holding us with his hands. He's holding on to us. Because he loves us so much this morning. Because he loves you. He loves me. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, he loves us. We know his love, what he had for the prodigal. And what I married Stella, we had a honeymoon in Turkey. And I read in the Bible commentaries, and when we were on the coach, I could actually, you know, I worked on a farm. I could actually see a shepherd, and he was walking along, and the sheep were following him. It took some believing. You know, the shepherds in those days, they knew each sheep. And this is why Jesus is using the metaphor here of the sheep and the shepherd. "I know my sheep, and they know me. My sheep hear my voice, and they will follow me. I will give them eternal life." The sheep are secure with the shepherd. And those sheep were following the shepherd I seen in Turkey. Although, when I worked on the farm, we did it a different way, where the sheep dogs rounded up the sheep. And, you know, we all like sheep have fallen, we go our foolish ways, and as soon as the hole in the fence, the sheep break out and follow each other. And we all know the saying, the grass is greener on the other side, but is it greener? I've got some promises here for following Jesus for you and me this morning. I used to visit a godly lady when I was a young man. From about the age of 16 till she passed away in 1978, so she was in her 90s. she was of a sound mind, and she knew a lot of the scriptures by heart, and she used to have difficulty because her sight was frail. And she always used to say to me when I went there, "Andrew, go to that drawer, pull out that King James Bible and read me some verses," and she could actually quote it as I read it. And when I left there, visited her a few times, she always quoted to me a verse from Luke's Gospel. And she said, "No man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom." And that scripture saved me from backsliding many, many times when I thought what Kate said. No man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom. It saved me to know I was in God's hands. God's protecting me. But eternal life with God. In John, what we read, 1 John, this is 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 17. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Forgiveness of sin. And I think of that glorious promise. In Ephesians, why do you love God? Somebody could ask you today, why do you follow Jesus? What is the gospel? The gospel is forgiveness of sins. And we pray the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We celebrated the communion this morning. The forgiveness of sins according to his grace. And Romans, what Jesus does in our lives. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Something that was missing in my life as a young man. I just didn't have that peace. And I read a book by the evangelist Billy Graham, who's passed away, who lived to about 99, a good age. And he wrote a book called Peace with God. Has anybody ever read that book here? No, that's fine. But the scriptures, Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the other thing, the lovely thing, that fellowship with God, we have fellowship with other believers, like we're experiencing this morning. Joy in the house of the Lord. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all our sins. What a wonderful promise. And security. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. We read these wonderful words. And these words are often said when people go home. They're often said in the funeral service. They're powerful words. Romans chapter 8. Verses 35 to 39, we read these words. Who shall separate, this is coincides with nobody but snatch them from our hand. In our reading, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am neither persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the scripture says we will go through a time of suffering. It says in 2 Timothy 3:12, all who live godly lives shall suffer persecution. Our persecution is mild compared to the persecution of believers in other countries. Just think of Iran. You know what's happening there. There's been a move of the Holy Spirit. People are coming to Christ. And they've been meeting underground in house groups, meeting in woods, meeting in secrets. But now, you know, we must pray for Iran that they'll have freedom. Freedom to worship Jesus like we have. You know, things are happening. And what is happening in Iran, just think of the Queen Esther, how she saved the people there. And just think what's happening in that country, how it's in the Bible. That there was a leader, Cyrus, who helped the Jewish people. And we need to pray and pray for Israel. You know, the Iranians helped the Jewish people in time past. But that's another subject. And finally, a promise in 2 Thessalonians 3:3 that can keep us, protect us from Satan. And this is a real powerful scripture. It's a scripture I really love. And it's a scripture that's really worth confessing. And it's 2 Thessalonians 3:3. And this is what it says. That this particular scripture says this. It's quite a powerful, as Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, and this is what he says. It's really powerful what he says. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And so, as we read on in John chapter 10, we go through this passage 31 to 33. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." You know, many times the Jewish leaders tried to stone Jesus. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, cares for people. Jesus, one with the Father. You know, the religious leaders, they tried to seize Jesus. They couldn't understand Jesus' claim to be God. Jesus is God. Yes, he is the Son of God, both God and man. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. But the Jews wanted to stone him. They wanted to stone him. It was a sin punishable. He was saying, you know, I and the Father are one. And what a terrible thing to be stoned to death. You know, the Apostle Paul was a stoning, you know, with a Stephen. A young man was telling me that he came from South Africa, and I believe it was God convicting him of his sin, and he said one day in the lorry, you know, he was just, well, there's apartheid, this is back along, not South Africa now, where he was just throwing stones at people that were not white. And What a terrible thing. And just think of the damage, what stones can do. Just think of what Jesus has done for you and me. And so Jesus defends himself. In the next part of the passage, John's Gospel 10:34-36. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent me into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do through you, do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." And you know, when he said these words, they just sought to seize him again, but he escaped out of their hands. And it just reminds me of Psalm, which is an unusual Psalm. 82. Psalm 82, verse 1. And part of that verse says, "He judges among the gods." And verse 6 says, "I said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, fall like one of the princes." You know, and the context of this, you know, Jesus is saying, like a court and a warning, you know, God judges us. But we have courts of law and earthly judges that judges. If any of you have been to a court of law, and as a young man, I'm confessing my sins now. I did a driving offence and I was before the magistrates way back in 1976. And we go before judges. We have judges in the land. We have a law to keep. And it says in the Apostles' Creed, this is what it says: "He will judge the quick and the dead. He will judge us." And you know, the scripture uses human judges as an honorary title. But Jesus said, "I've got a greater right by God." You know, Jesus, God's Son, who was God by nature. It was a brilliant defense. He boldly told them, "God has sent me. He has sent me to you. He has sent me as God's Son. I am who I am, say I am. I and the Father are one. I am God's Son." I, and you know, we read these wonderful scriptures, powerful scriptures. You know, "But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. I do not do the works unless the Father, I and the Father are one. I am sent to do my Father's will." You just think of it. In the temple, when he turned over the tables, he said, "You have made my Father's house into a den of thieves." And he just turns the tables over. It's a house of prayer. And so we, whatever it takes, and we come to the final part of the passage, which is powerful. John 10:40-42. "And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, 'John performed no sign, but all things that John spoke about this man were true, and many believed in him were true.'" You know, the leaders are trying to arrest him, and Jesus retreats from the area. He crosses the Jordan River. He returns where John the Baptist had preached sinners to repentance and was baptized, Jesus returns where he started his ministry and not return to Jerusalem until we come soon. He doesn't return to Jerusalem until Palm Sunday, which we're going to celebrate in a few Sundays' time. Jesus didn't retreat from people. What John said of Jesus was true. You know, because these are the powerful words at the end. Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign. Verse 41, but all things that John spoke about this man were true, and many believed in him there. Only Jesus can give eternal life and forgiveness. I and my Father are one. And, you know, when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, Jesus is God. You know, a lot of people know him as the Son of God, but they've got not that personal relationship with Jesus that makes all the difference. You know, who seen the Father have seen me. And I just want to finish with a final scripture, and it's in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. And this is what it says. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do as with the ability which God supplies. That in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so, those who preach must preach God's message. Those who serve must serve with the strength that God gives them, so that in all things praise may be given to God through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and power forever and ever. And you don't have to, but I'd like you to say a prayer now, to repeat the words after me, what we've said this morning, how we can put this into practice into your lives. Let us pray. Just say the words after me, only if you want to. Blessed are you, Lord, of all, for revealing yourself to me in Jesus Christ, my Savior. Give me wisdom to know your will. Give me humility to kneel before you in worship in your church. Give me generosity to share the great love you give me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.